This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
And that is launched out to deep left field. Big fly for Mike Trout.
This is ground ball to second base. Rhett Hinkle falls down, picks it up, fires the first. The Angels have no hit. The Seattle Mariners. It's gone. Big fly for Anthony Rendon.
Hey guys, I'm Alex Curry.
This is Joe Adell here with the Los Angeles Angels.
This is Brendan Marsh.
This is Chris Rodriguez.
You're listening to the All Angels Podcast.
And welcome to another edition of the All Angels Podcast. I am Dallin Garcia, and I am joined with the creator of baseball, Max, from Rocks in the Outfield. Max, how you doing?
You saw that? That was a funny little chirp by that guy.
Yeah.
I'm doing all right, man. Just, you know, Thursday night, kind of watching football, hanging out. Angels off day, so I'm glad that NFL started today. But yeah, just, you know, working on growing the game, I guess.
Yeah, there you go. So, like I mentioned, Rocks in the Outfield. You guys too, not just you, but I, you know, your podcast Twitter page is you know, it's really popular on Twitter. You guys have a great foothold in that Angels Twitter community. So for people that don't, you know, aren't on Angels Twitter, not involved in it, kind of summarize what Angels Twitter is like.
Okay, so it's a lot to kind of comprehend, and it's honestly like kind of like a high school, Angels Twitter high school, basically, because it's, you know, you got your clicks of and I don't know anyone's age really. Like I probably know like 10 people's age. Like I know you're kind of around my age, and there's a couple other people, like a lot of college kids, a lot of high school kids, a couple of, and then it kind of just takes like a gap. Like it just goes from like high school, college, you know, late 20s, and then it just kind of takes a gap from like 29 to 38, and then you just start getting the older crowd. But it's cool. It's a lot of as much as people hate it, I think they're one of the most creative Twitter fan bases around, and they, you know, they stand up for their team. Obviously, I think if obviously the Angels were a winner, it'd be seen as like support and stuff, but since we're not really winning, it's seen as like bullying and attacking. But yeah, Angels Twitter is, you know, you could find, it's kind of like Walmart. You can find whatever you need. Like if you need to find a negative guy, you can go over here. If you need to find some optimism, go over here. If you need to, you know, you got everything. You can find everything really. So
like I mentioned, your podcast Rocks in the Outfield does a great job of kind of tapping into that. And then you guys are, you know, especially you do a good job going back and forth with people in the community. You know, you are generally a positive type of guy when it comes to this. Like, yeah, you'll keep it real when obviously, you know, stuff hits the fan. But what kind of is there anything that has said to you or where just like caught you off surprise? Like, whoa, I didn't, you know, they answered or responded to something I said. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, there was nothing too crazy. Cause as much as I like to kind of push the boundary, and I always say like, I follow Barstool as like an example, like, like where they like to push the boundary, but not go too overboard, where like there's things that I just kind of don't want to get into. And I don't feel comfortable. Like, you know, when some people start saying like, hey, I'm going to fight you at the game, then I'm just kind of like, all right, well, this isn't fun anymore. Like now now I can't go to the game with my girl, cause now I got to look over my shoulder. Like, but there was a tweet that I had when the Angels had a cupcake, what I thought was a cupcake part of the schedule coming up, where they had like the Indians, Orioles, Tigers, like that little stretch around the Little League World Series. And I tweeted like, hey, if they kind of play good baseball here, is that they kind of, we've seen that they can play, they'd be 500. They kind of still got a shot. And people were just really like, you know, they're like, you're a fool. There's no way they're going to make up this many games. You got to be up 15 games. So I think the optimism always gets attacked. If you're like an optimistic fan, it's just kind of like tough to say that you want, even now, like saying you want Trout to come back, like you'll get attacked for that. Like it is kind of hard. But in terms of like shocking, I'm never really too shocked, because I kind of know what to expect from these guys. Like I can tell, like I do these videos where like if there's a fight in the stands, I'll be like, ooh, this Dodger game is crazy. And it'll be like a football game in Tennessee or something. And I kind of expect like what I get out of those. Those are pretty funny. But in terms of like when I'm actually supporting the team, I get caught off guard sometimes of some, and I never know who's who. It's always like Joe Madden, Burner. Dugout, Alex Kopp. Like I have no idea who these people are.
Right.
And I had a guy who I thought was my friend. Like I was like, oh, we always like each other's tweets and this and that. And then he just came at my throat saying that, you know, I'm just an Angels fanboy, Barstool, you know, whatever. And so I never really get too surprised, but I kind of always know what to expect. But the time when I was trying to be positive and people were like, you're a fucking idiot, I was just like, all right, well, what? I mean, I think someone was saying, what, like, boycott the last 20 games.
Oh, yeah, I think I saw that too.
And Artie Moreno, like, he'll feel that. Like, no, we won't, but okay. No. I was like, all right, yeah, whatever.
Can't take his boat out for an extra day or something like that. That's probably about it.
I mean, it's just like the idea of like a boycott is just so like, you got to do that in April, and no one's doing that in April. Like, there's just no shot. So
it'd be the type that people are like, let's boycott, but hey, we'll watch it on TV. So at least they'll still get the, you know, TV revenue. So it's like, what are you really accomplishing?
And I think he said it like when he said, like, let's boycott, it's like, okay, next week. All right. Let's say we do boycott. We got the Yankees Monday, Padres Friday. Like, we're going to get a lot of visiting fans, and money's green. So it doesn't matter. Like, they're still going to buy beer. So it doesn't matter. Like, I don't think he's going to be upset that he doesn't sell as many shirts that weekend, but. You know, just trying to be realistic on Twitter, like, and trying to like keep it light, because I see this as a job, honestly. And right. I'm sure we've all had jobs that we hate. And if you like, I don't understand the people that hate and the miserable Angels fans, and like they like, you don't have to watch,
right?
And you really don't have to come to Twitter if you don't like. For me, like I'm a big basketball guy. Like I'm like whatever about it. And like I guess I like the Clippers, but when they suck, like I don't go on Clippers Twitter and be like, oh man, we're terrible. Like I just like, you don't have to be there. So I try to just keep it funny, positive. It obviously helps when we win, but I don't know. Sometimes getting caught off guard by like the negative people, I'm just like, why? Like you don't have to. Like if you hate Lord of the Rings, you're not gonna go watch a Lord of the Rings movie. It just doesn't make sense.
Later.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Are you the type of a fan? And I think fandom has such a wide aspect of what people consider fandom just in general. But are you the type of fan that like, you go to a game, you go to a ton of games, you and your guys go to a ton of games. Mm-hmm. Are you ever the type of person that like, okay, they lost. Maybe it's a close game. Maybe it's against a divisional opponent or whatever. Are you the type to like take it like really hard to where like it messes up the rest of your day or like the next day?
Right now, I'll be honest, right now it's kind of tough. Like if we lose now, it's kind of like, whatever. Like, I just want to see Joe Adell hit a home run. I want to see Ohtani kind of do his thing. And I kind of want to just see stuff like that. Early on in the year, like, it was kind of tough. It not like my whole day, but just kind of like, you know, the game's over, let's say we lose. And then it's like, it also depends how we lose, right? If it's 10-0 in the first inning, I'm like, all right, this is stupid. But if we're up and then we blow it in the eighth, or we do something stupid and we cost ourselves the game, then it'll kind of be like, all right, I'm just going to go home. Like, I'm not going to go to the bar. Like, and when we win, it's like, oh yeah, we'll go to this bar. We'll go to this bar, whatever. But then when we lose, it's kind of like, all right, well, this was not cool. I'm just going to go home. Like, I don't know. Like there's been some games that affect my day, probably like the Trout injury. Like that just kind of sucks. But then, you know, even the couple weeks after that, it was just kind of being like, hey, he might come back. We don't know. But I wouldn't say it fucks my day up too much, but it's definitely like noted and like, oh, Angels lost today. Like, no, I don't want to get ice cream right now. Like, let's save it for another day or something. So, yeah. What about you? Like,
no, you know what? Honestly, I'm not too much. And this is part of my background, I guess, as a, you know, I graduated high school and I played football in high school. So right after I graduated, I had a brother that played also right behind me. So I got into coaching. I got into coaching football. Mm-hmm. I got into coaching, you know, high school football at a pretty good level. At the time, the high school I was at was pretty wasn't the modern days or the Centennials, but it was probably like the next step down. So like for me, for being a coach, I'm like, when I lose those games, those affect me because those are the ones where like I actually had input on it. You know, for me, when the Angels lose, I'm like, all right, I wasn't the one that called in, you know, C-Sheck or Slagers in the bullpen. So I didn't do anything wrong. So I'm like, oh, that sucks. But okay, well, you know, let me flip the channel and like, okay, what do I have on my DVR to watch now before I go to sleep, or, you know, whatever, where am I picking up food on the way home kind of deal. So I'm not too much because I'm kind of in that mindset where like, I didn't call for that blood there. I didn't call for, you know, I didn't yank the starter. So I'm like, why am I pissed off? But no, but I think like certain games that mean certain amount of like when they had the playoff run and what was that, 18, that sucked. because it was like, you know, it meant. But your average game, whether it's April, whether it's, you know, August, if it's like a regular Thursday game, regular Saturday game, I'm like, all right, whatever, we'll move on to the next day and see what happens.
Yeah, I think same here. Like Dodgers game, I think it's more of just like, what do I have to, because Twitter, obviously, like where I get a lot of attention is being like, I guess, trying to be funny. And when we lose, it kind of takes away my, like, my ladder of being funny. Like, people don't really want me to be funny, like, if we're losing. So like, yeah, Yankees wins. I'll say this, the highs are high. Like when we beat the Yankees or when we do something, Seattle six out save, like those highs are really high. And then the lows are like, they're like not that low, but it's just like, if we lose the Dodgers, I already know, like, all right, well, I'm going to hear it from XYZ person, and, you know, Red Sox, I'm going to hear it from this person. A's, we got Dallas Braden sending me a video of my grandma every time. So, yeah, not too bad, but I'll just say the highs are really high. The lows are like, we play tomorrow, so who cares, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that's true too. Kind of, you kind of touch on a point. I guess it all depends on who you surround yourself with. If you don't really have a Red Sox fan, like friend or whatever, then you don't really hear anything about it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But if you have like it can be like a random ass team, like, you know, Seattle. Oh wow, Seattle beat you. It's like, you like Seattle, and you live in Southern California. Like, where did that come from?
I think the group chat that I'm in, I'm probably like, I'm not the biggest. I mean, tough to say, because I'm not a big Angels fanatic. Like, I wasn't a huge Angels fanatic. Like, you know, going through high school and college, like, I had to work. So, like, when I had to work, like, shitty jobs, and I was working at Sports Authority or whatever, like, I wasn't following the Angels. So, now in, like, my group chat that I'm in with my friends, there's a lot of people, and like, a lot of them in there, they were, like, following them since we got out of high school. And when they'll be like, why, you know, they'll kind of give me shit too of being like, dang, why are you still believe? Like, why are you still going to the stadium? Da, da, da. So they're probably the only people that I really do care about, like what they text me. Everyone else of like, we beat your team. I'm like, dude, we play tomorrow. Like who, like you beat Junior Guerra. Like who, nobody cares.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. It's okay. It's a back to back day after day game after night games. Like, all right, good job. Like I mentioned, you go to the games a ton. You go to the Yankee games. You've been to a couple, you've been to the Dodgers series. What fan base, I guess, is the most like, oh crap, I can't believe I'm going to this game because they're just going to talk a bunch of crap the whole time?
Fuck, dude. I mean, honestly, you could say that for anybody, but like with the Angels, like it's they've just been such a neat, like, so I like to think about it. I like to think in a bunch of different perspectives. Like, if I was a Dodger fan, how would I act? If I was a Yankee fan, how would I act? And if I was like rooting for these other teams and I came into Anaheim, there's just so many targets to harp on. And like, so you, me, Carl, everyone that's like on Angels Twitter, we're like basically playing defense and being like, all right, well, you're going to come for, okay, Trout missing the playoffs. We got a guard here. So I think, you know, Dodgers fans are always not really, they're not tough. They're easy to like mentally dance around and just, you know, the fact that they're a first place team or they're a playoff team that's been making it forever and they're minding their, you know, they're spending their time on us. Like that's already a loss. I think I really think like the Yankees and the Bostons, like those teams are just really hard to like, sometimes they're just really hard to combat with because they have the like history. They got like the 1900s history background.
Yeah.
Being like, hey, we were here before your great grandpa was born. And they kind of have like that baseball elitism where like, if like when we beat Boston, it's good. But then if they come in and like sweep us and stuff, like I really have no comebacks. Like I have nothing really to say, especially like since they always killed us, you know, in like
playoffs.
So Boston's pretty tough. Yankees are tough just out of sheer numbers. That shit's like Walking Dead. There's like billions of them. But in terms of like, you know, I think those are top three. Astros aren't bad. Mariners are like non-existent. A's are non-existent. Never talked to a Rangers fan before, so I'd say those are probably the big three. Everyone else I think is just kind of like NL, like Padres fans have been kind of getting up there this year. I guess they've been kind of talking shit, but it's like whatever, like we're not really paying attention to you yet. I'd say probably Dodgers third place, Yankees, Red Sox like first and second.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel too, because it always seems like there's a bunch of either people that grew up in New York and moved out here or whatever that always end up going to the games. And people always give a bunch of Angel fans crap about, well, why don't you show up to these certain games? And one time I sat next to a guy that used to be season ticket holders. It was like a couple years ago. He said when he was a season ticket holder, every year he would sell opening day, He would sell when the Yankees come to town,
yeah,
when the Dodgers come to town, and when Boston comes to town. And he would make like 80% of his money back on a season tickets. He's like, yeah, he's like, it's an investment. And for, you know, for some people, I'm like, that makes complete sense. You said earlier, money's green no matter who buys a ticket, so it doesn't really matter.
It really is like crazy where, because we have season tickets too, and it's kind of like we do it mostly for content, like, and then we give some away to friends and stuff. I usually just give them away just to like kind of make people happy. We get a lot of help on Rocks in the Outfield from, like, you know, friends and cousins, and, you know, I'm at the game and I'm saying, hey, record me real quick, and, you know, just to thank them, I'll be like, hey, here, whatever. So I gave my like buddy like Dodgers tickets where we're at by the outfield. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't want anything, like, buy me a beer, whatever, we'll call it even. And then I went back and I looked up the prices and I was like, I fucked up. I just gave him like $300 tickets. But yeah, I mean, like, it was kind of, it's tough to defend. We're constantly defending the fan base no matter like how you look at it. And when the Yankees come into town 2 weeks ago or whatever, and the stadium's white,
Like, the whole first base side seemed like it was,
not great. So, those fan bases are tough, but I mean, for the most part, like, I've been saying it to everyone. I say, as soon as we start winning, like, there's nothing better than, you know, baseball in Southern Cal, you know, Rally Monkey, Thunder Sticks, stadium's gonna be packed. So, I just think winning is the missing ingredient there. Cause obviously people could say like, oh, put in a Chick-fil-A or whatever, but stadium wise, I think just the missing ingredient's winning. You just got to win, and then that bitch will be packed out.
Yeah. There's a saying, winning's the best deodorant. Like, it doesn't matter what's going on. If you're winning, it doesn't really matter. People are the stuff they noticed before, they're not noticing now if you start getting a winner. So, on that note, talk a little bit about the season. What were your expectations coming into the season this year?
So, to be honest, like, I think we made preseason bets, and we made, like, we were pretty generic on terms of like who we think is gonna do what and stuff. So we obviously had Trout up there. Like, I think I was saying, like, he's gonna win his fourth MVP this year. We had Rendon like right behind him. So going in, like, we were really optimistic, and I almost as foolish as it sounds, like, I don't care what anyone says. Like, every time I think of the Angels, I think optimism, especially if it's April. So I was thinking Rendon. I was like, we're going to have an MVP race within our own team. Like, it's going to be Trout, Rendon, Otani. You know, it's going to be 1-2-3. But obviously, you know, things start slipping and sliding, and then things get, you know, like, it felt like we had a lot of wins in the beginning, and we were just smoking everybody. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we kind of started crumbling. There was like a big loss against the Blue Jays in Florida. And then ever since then it was just kind of like 500, couple games below 500, get back. My expectations were high, but I mean, obviously I couldn't predict. I wouldn't have told you Mike Trout would have been out since May. You know, they'd start cutting guys like nothing, you know, Fowler getting hurt. It really is just tough. And I was talking to Carl about it last night, saying that to have a playoff spot locked up and to kind of be comfortable in August, you really got to start winning like 9-10 straight early.
Yeah.
And you get 9-10 straight. And then I think our biggest win streak was 6. So not great, but I mean, positive. I was over. I'm kind of a big better, and I have bets that I'm going to have to pay up pretty soon, because I had Angels World Series, Angels AL CS, and then Angels like division. So I got to pay for those in like 3 weeks. So pretty optimistic, but I don't know. Like, it's hard not to be, you know. I don't know anyone that's, because all the shit talkers come out now. Like, they're saying fourth place. In April, on a team with Mike Trout and even Otani with what he was in April, Rendon, Poole, like all those guys that were on the team, like, nobody's saying that's a fourth place team. No. You know, Rysell wasn't what he is now. Cobb was unknown. You know, so I would say I was a little over positive, but I'm going to continue to be that way until, you know, there's no reason to be. Every year is a new page, and, you know, we're in it till we're not. So,
yeah, I mean, and to, when we did like our preseason pick or whatever, like, I even had him win the wild card just because I figured the A's were going to be up there, Astros were going to be up there. I had them sneaking into that second wild card spot, but yeah, you hit it on the head when you're talking about these injuries and how they kind of piled up and what's the difference between, you know, Trout playing, you know, even if he just plays 120 games, you know, whatever, where's his team at? The same thing with Rendon. Ohtani is a plus, because honestly, I'll be the first one to admit it. When obviously Ohtani was coming back from injury, I wasn't one saying he's going to be an MVP. You know, he'll have a good year. He'll bounce back, but I'm not sure what we'll get from him. But then for him to come out and have like a hands down MVP season, I didn't see that coming. Not to that expectation.
This year with him, like, it's been so, I'm big into like baseball cards and stuff. Like, that's my kind of thing outside of like podcasting and stuff. And with him is like his stuff. Like, I should have been a millionaire, really, because his cards were, you know, they were expensive when he came over in 2018. He gets hurt. He has kind of like a whatever season. 2020 doesn't count. I'm not counting that. Yeah. And then, you know, going into this year, everyone's saying like, hey, watch out for this guy. Watch out for this guy. And, you know, the amount of like money that I spent on like other players or other things, like I could have spent that on Ohtani. And now it's like him being an MVP. Like, that's, I love that. I love that for him. And it's honestly tough to imagine what this team would be like without him. I was saying, like, we were saying last night, like, because we recorded an episode last night, we were saying, like, I can't imagine, like, the fact that they're even around 500 right now is like pretty. Like, if I would have told you everything that would happen, I say, hey, Trout's out, Poole's gone, Iglesias gone, Ohtani's good, but everyone else is like, you know, Joe Adell, Brandon Marshrup, you'd be like, oh yeah, we're like 20 games under. Like, no, like, we're right there at 500, which is nothing really to celebrate. But I mean, if you want to take something out of it, I guess that's like, you know, cool that we're not the Orioles, you know.
Yeah, but, the Orioles or the Pirates or anything like that. No, yeah, but you're right. You look at the lineup right now, and even the rotation. You look at you tell me the lineup was going to be Mayfield, Gosselin, you know, and then Joe, I kind of figured would be up by now. Marsh was a little bit of a surprise because of his injury in spring training. But you tell me like those two guys on the left side of the infield, Gosselin and Mayfield. I'm like, oh, dude, we're screwed.
You know, I didn't even know who Gosselin was before this.
I didn't know Gosselin. I know Mayfield just
no clue
vaguely.
Yeah, I knew Mayfield.
Gosselin had no idea who Gosselin was.
I was like, I don't even know who this guy is. And we called him up, and so far he's been decent. I mean, he's been cool. So it's just, it's like trying to just remain positive. And it was obviously easier. Like, I think the All-Star break, maybe until a Little League World Series, where I was like, all right, yeah, we're cooked. I was like, we're done. So as much optimism as I had, it didn't die right there, but it's like kind of like, all right, well, this is, we're going to have to win like 30 straight, and then everyone is going to have to lose 30 straight. So probably not going to happen.
So I guess part of the good thing about baseball, more so than any other sport, because, you know, with basketball, with football, they don't have necessarily like, quote unquote, a minor league system to where you can be like, oh, well, this guy's going to be this next year. This guy should be up next year. Baseball has that. So you can kind of look into the future a little bit, but a lot of that future is already here. Like, you're talking about Joe, you're talking about Brandon, you're talking about Detmers, Rodriguez, all that stuff. What are some of the younger guys that you're seeing play now and get an opportunity to play now that you're really excited going forward into 2022?
Well, I think Joe Adell, he's the front runner, and I think people really write him off just because of 2020 and the COVID year.
Like I said, it was a weird season for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, like no one's done what Joe Adell has done, where they called him up during the COVID year, and you know, he had to kind of figure it out. And I think a lot of people really wrote him off, but I think it says something to be. It says something to be the guy and to be the number one prospect and then to come up and actually do it. And it might've not been when we wanted it to, but now he's doing it. So I think him as, you know, he was the number one guy in our system for like, I don't know, a long time.
Yeah.
And I, you know, guys like him, and just to kind of stray away to another fan base, but like guys like Wander Franco, Vladdy, like those guys where they're just, hey, you're number one, you have to be good. Like, we're putting a lot of effort and energy into you being good. And it's cool. Like Brandon Marsh, if he wasn't, you know, no one's going to kill him because he wasn't like a top 10 pick or whatever. Everyone's going to be like, all right, well, whatever. It didn't work out. But with Joe Adell, with him being like a first round top 10 pick, like it's something where I think he just has a ton of pressure, and it's like really rewarding to see like him blossom and be confident and become like one of the leaders. And I think I'm most happy for him, I think, because he's the guy that I think can blossom, and he has all the tools. And if I think they were comparing him to Tatis last night on the broadcast, and they're saying, you know, he has a better, like he has more 3-run games than Tatis did at 70 games. So, and then we think about it, he's only played 70 games, which is crazy. I can't wait for the, you know, when people play 162 over like 2 years,
Right.
They're like, here's Joe Adell at 162. And it's going to be great numbers. It's going to be fun. And it's going to be, you know, I'm just glad that he's finally coming up. And I think, like, to see all of them together, like, I'm talking about, like, Trout, you know, Ohtani, Adell, like, to see them all together, like, I'm very excited. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't, you know, I still can imagine, like, there's going to be games where they lose to the Rangers. But still, I think the highs are going to be high when that team beats the Yankees, or, like, when Joe Adell has a walk-off that day, you know, something like that. Like, that's going to be, like, I don't know. Like, I'm going to be like, I keep thinking about, like, the parade. Like, if I ever get to go to a parade right. in the next couple of years, like, that's mm-hmm. where I'm going to be, like, you know, Joe Adell's going to be on the bus and everyone's going to be hanging out. I don't know. I'm cool for Detmers, cool for Marsh, C-Rod's, like, cool kid too. Mm-hmm. But Adell, I think, is the next, like, he's, like, my favorite out of the bunch for sure.
Yeah, it's kind of unfortunate too about, like, last season, like you said, he got called up. He had that incident in Texas where the ball pops out of his glove, goes over the wall. And I feel like that was, like, really kind of, at that point, unfair. And I'm sure you saw it too, like you mentioned, like, on Twitter, where it's, all right, yeah, he can't play, get out. And I'm like, dude, at that point, literally had played like 5 or 6 games. It's like, you can't make a snap judgment there. So, you know, I think you're right. I think he kind of bounced back and he seems to have built that confidence. And he's even said so in interviews that the fans being there and just, it's more of a normal atmosphere for him. But yeah, Joe has been something, a really good surprise for fans that were ready to kind of trade him at the deadline or even before.
I think still now they still want to, you know, they're saying his trade value is high, this, that. I'm kind of like, I want him to know. And I wish, this is kind of where I wish, like, the players were more accessible mm-hmm. that, like, you know, Trout, like I want to just be like, hey, Trout, if you shut it down, like, just know, like, we got your back. Like, we know we know that you know best. And I think, like, I try to imagine myself, like, if I was a player and I went on to Angels Twitter after, like, I don't know, making a bad play or getting injured or doing something, like, I could just really fuck with them. Yeah. And, you know, what we're trying to build at, like, Rocks in the Outfield is, like, we're trying to, you know, be, like, a hype man for Joe Adell, right? So we're like, if there's a Red Sox fan booing him, like, in the stands, he can't say anything, but we can. And it's going to be like, hey, dude, like, it's not Fenway, so not here. So, yeah, I just think tough confidence is a lot in baseball, you know, because it's a lot of, like, standing around and waiting and a lot of time in your head and a lot of time thinking and doing that. So, you know, good for him. I think what really helped him was the time in Salt Lake.
I was happy he started there. Yep.
20 something bombs or something. Just kind of, I remember he would Euro step around third base and, like, that stuff. Like, I love that shit. Like, he should be doing it now. Like, I think, you know, like, you look at what Tatis brought to the Padres. It's like a jolt of energy of like, hey, we're good. We're the shit, this and that. So I think he can kind of do the same for the Angels where, you know, Iggy kind of had a little bit of, like, energy off the field. Like, on the field, he was the player he was. Like, numbers aren't going to lie. But when Ohtani hit a home run, he's the first one there. When you know, someone's doing well, he's the first one to celebrate. And I think that means a lot. So to have Joe Adell, every time I see him fired up rounding first, I think it's one of the best things. And it really helps the team and it should spark up the fan base and make people cheer louder. As much of an Angels joke as that is, like, that shit kind of helps, I think. So
Middleton. But yeah, so, and it's funny too, you mentioned that, like, the youthful exuberance, I guess you can use for, like, Joe, but, like, this is the first time I remember for a while that this team has been this young. I mean, Trout was, like, you know, the kid when he got brought up, but he was surrounded by, like, Torii Hunter and, like, these other Pujols. They were surrounded by guys that were, you know, 10 years already in. This is, like, a really young team, which it's, like, the first time I can remember for the Angels. I'm like, oh, wow, they're going to develop into something. You're not banking on these, you know, 30-year-old free agents that kind of turned it on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're super young. It's kind of crazy. And now I think it's a little better for us because we're, you know, like, if you told me, like, hey, you have to interview Upton or Adell, I'd be like, give me Adell. Upton kind of scares me and Adell's kind of younger and I'd love to kind of just pick his brain and figure out that kind of stuff. But I like the young team. Obviously sucks that we're not, you know, playing for anything that really means anything, but, you know, I don't have any deadline. There's no deadline on this team to, like, hey, if they're not good by this year, I'm not watching. So I'll watch until I don't want to. So
yeah, and that's another thing that gets me too about I'm done. I'm like, dude, you said that a month ago when they got swept by, you know, whatever team. It's like, obviously you're not done. You know exactly what happened tonight. I catch that a lot on Twitter too, like
all the time, all the time. People actually do leave for like a week. They'll leave for like a week at a time, but then they're always like, I mean, but then again, the fan base, like, we don't give a fuck. Like, there's some people, like, if they were like, hey, I'm gonna leave, I'd be like, yeah, no, you're not. But then there's other ones that, like, if you want to leave, like, leave. I mean, there's, fuck, I'm trying to remember, there was someone who was like embarrassed to be an Angels fan or like something like that, where they said, like, I don't know, I'm embarrassed to associate myself with this team. And I was like, you don't have to, like,
right,
pick another team, like, go somewhere else, like, no one's gonna make fun of you, like don't be around here. You don't have to be here. So that's my biggest thing, is that, you know, I think people need to realize that, like, you can turn the TV off. Like, no one's going to care.
Yeah. And I think too, like, part of it is like, you don't need to, like, you don't, if you define yourself, like, you know, 80% of yourself in a team, I'm like, there might be something more there than meets the eye. It's like, I'm my own person, but yeah, I get upset or whatever when Angels lose or happy when they win, but I'm like, that's not going to define, like, you know, who I am. I feel like some people just take that way too far. It's like, this team isn't your everything. Or at least
I can't really, like, relate to that part, because it's like, I don't know. Like, I love the team. I want to watch every game if I can. Like, I really want to, and I want to follow along, and I follow the writers and the you know, Mark Gubiza, and I follow everybody that's connected to the team. But I'm not from the, like, I'm not going to make a Twitter solely based around the Angels. Like, I still have a life. Still, you know, watch football. I still try to do other things. And like, while I do try to do this to, like, try to create a space and environment, like, it's still not, you know, that's not 100% of my stuff. It's probably up there. It's probably like 60 or 70, but it's the 100% people that have the Sandoval burners. Like, I just don't, like, I have nothing in common with you. Like, I'm sorry. I wish you the best though.
Yeah. It seems like those burners pop up, new ones pop up.
It's unbelievable. You know,
so, like, I don't, are you the same guy as the other guy, or you just made a new one with a new player that just got, like, especially now with so many players kind of working through the team. It's like, now you got a Packy Naughton one. Now you got you know, whoever the next guy is, Austin Warren one. It's like,
Elvis Figueroa, like, burner. Yeah. It's tough to keep up with. And I, like I said, I don't know who's who. I thought this dude was my friend. He's not, he's talking shit. This one guy doesn't even follow me, says I invented baseball. Like, I was like, all right, cool. Like, I was like, I guess. Yeah, cool. Thanks.
where's my check? I should be getting some kind of cutback then if I did.
At least every game for free. Like,
yeah, exactly. One of those golden cards that people have.
I think it's funny though, because, like, I mean, you know, we don't, I like seeing that side of it, because I'm sure, like, where I work at my office job, I'm sure there's people that hate it, and I'm sure there's people that, you know, they want to voice their opinions, and I'm sure they do. I just don't see it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, with something like the Angels, it's like, it you know, work, you kind of have to do it, but, like, the Angels, like, you don't have to. So it's interesting. And you know, then you get into the rankings and the clicks, and this person's better than this, and this person likes stats, this person doesn't, like, you know, it's just kind of, I'm just going to have a fun time. And if you don't like it, like, oh, well, tough.
I want to talk about Spotify Green Room. Spotify Green Room is a live, audio-only sports talk platform, which is free to download and free to use. You can talk to other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time. Perfect for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news. All you need to do is download the Spotify Green Room app free in the iOS or Android App Store. Create a profile, link it to your Twitter, and join. That's it. It's that easy. So go ahead and check out Spotify Green Room. Who are some of the good ones to follow? Like, who are the ones where they put out good stuff? They don't seem to take anything too seriously. They know how to take a joke. Like, is there any, like, you know, couple that kind of pop into your head when
you say that? There's so it just depends, like, how you enjoy baseball. Like, I think there's people that enjoy baseball, like, the old fashioned way. Like, I think Trent Rush and that little circle of people are great follows. And then, like, out of the meme accounts, like, you have, there's a guy called AAA Pitcher. I don't know his name, but his profile picture is like a Drake hat and him. And, like, he's one that like, or it's like a Drake, it's Drake and then an Angels hat. He's one of the ones that I really enjoy, because he's just kind of light hearted, but still knowledgeable, but still funny, and knows how to take a joke, knows how to laugh at himself, and knows how to laugh at, like, but still, like, laughs at the other team. Mm-hmm. I I think Mark Gubiza is a great follow. Like, yeah, he's a great, like, he's probably the number one. But the thing that's tough with Angels is, like, we don't have, like, celebrity fans.
No.
And I think that's not, you know, that's not cool. Like, people aren't wearing Puma, you know what I mean? And when you see a celebrity wearing Puma, then you're going to be like, oh, shit, let me get some Puma. But no,
right,
celebrities are wearing Nike, they're wearing Under Armour, and that's, like, you know, you see fucking celebrities wearing Dodger hats. So then other people start wearing Dodger hats, and that's kind of, like, where I think we lack, but also I see opportunity, like, where I'm like, why can't I be that guy? And right, why can't me and Carl and everyone else who puts out stuff be like that? So, yeah, I think AAA pitcher is a good one. I think that's his at. And then there's just, like, in terms of the burners, it just kind of depends what you're into. If you're into jokes and, you know, Angels coverage, yeah, but, like, I kind of respect people. I have a different level of, like, respect for people who willingly put out content with their face attached to it.
Right.
And with, like, videos that, like, you know what? Because I have videos that have, like, 3 views. And, like, that shit, it is what it is. So when I see someone else with 3 views, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to fully talk shit to you because I know, like, what you're doing is tough. Like, so if you say something I don't like and I come back, I'm like, I'm not going to fully come back at you because it's like, I kind of get that, like, hey, this shit is tough. It's not easy. You know, the Jared Karabases of the world, like, have it, you know, they worked hard for where they're at, and the smaller guys like us kind of just, you know, it's a little more difficult. So I kind of try to give them a little more slack, and I try to, like, hey man, I kind of get it. But then the ones that, like, don't put anything out, they're just there to talk shit. They're just there to hate. They're just there to be like, oh, well, this person sucks, and then get rid of him. But, like, they're not realistic about it. And then, that's what I just kind of really, like, I try not to pay attention to it, but it's just, sometimes it's just, there's no, like, it's just everywhere. So, you could find whatever you want on Angels Twitter. But I think kind of, it depends how you like baseball, I guess.
Yeah, you say that, and it's funny that you go back to what you said earlier. It's like Walmart, whatever you want. You want to go down aisle literally, 10 for this, you go aisle, you know, 5 for that. You'll find it. If you look hard enough, you'll find it.
You could do, like, your lineup where you'd be like, I like Fletcher. I hate this person. I hate Walsh. I like this person. And be like, oh, we'll follow these 4 people because that's like what they like. Oh, right. You hate Fletcher? Follow, like, this person. Oh, you think Ohtani should only hit? Follow, like, so you can really, like, find whatever. So,
yeah, you can filter it out real quick. Kind of talking about Ohtani, you went to the home run derby. You're out in Colorado. How was that whole, experience to be out there?
So that, like, funny story, it was actually crazy. Pete Soto is a guy that helps out with the pod. I know some people, like, hate him and some people love him, and
very polarizing.
There's no, like, middle, like, right. People aren't like, ah, he's whatever. Like, there's either, like, he's really cool or you hate him. So I went with him, and, like, that was, I met him through Angels Twitter, and to, like, have to go to Denver with someone I just met I was a little, like, eerie.
Weird.
But it was fun, man. He was great. I joke around that he was on the airplane, like, patting his glove, like, in seat 4C, like, just going like this. And I'm like, we haven't even left the runway. So going with him was hilarious. He's great for like rocks in the outfield. I think he does a lot of, like, the heavy lifting and a lot of, like, the footwork, and he's literally boots on the ground. So going with him was cool. Meeting up with, like, Jared Karabas, who's the guy that I look up to, Dallas Braden, another guy I look up to, meeting up with those guys and, like, you know, being in a baseball environment, hanging out with them. And then obviously, like, the festivities are great. I think it's gotta be, like, a kind of drug to go, being a bigger baseball creator. 'Cause then you're just kind of like Spider-Man at Comic-Con. Everybody knows who you are. Everybody wants a picture. Everybody wants that. So some of that stuff is really cool. And we got a little bit of it. Like, we had 2 people be like, oh, rocks in the outfield, we know you guys, whatever. We had a sign come out on TV, which that was, like, you know, that was probably really big, where ESPN put us on, you know, right before Ohtani was up to bat. That was cool. And then, you know, going out after with all the baseball content creators and drinking and having a good time. Like, I would recommend everyone go to a home run derby for sure, because it's wild. It's every team's, like, fan. Like, you know, you get Mets fans, you get Braves fans, you get every kind of fan that there is. And it's just super fun. Like, you know, we didn't get any balls, but we were right there in the outfield, and it was just kind of it was just a fun time. It was super fun. I recommend everyone go at least once.
Yeah, and it being in LA in this next season, I mean, it's a great opportunity for, I'm sure, you know, your listener base is, you know, a lot of it's based out in Southern California, like ours. So yeah, it's a perfect opportunity for to go out and check that out. So now, you know, Angels going forward, off season's coming. Obviously, there's a lot of moving parts when it comes to some of these offseason moves and signings and trades or whatever. But obviously, you kind of mentioned it, Jose Iglesias, no longer the shortstop. So it kind of seems like there's going to be a question mark at shortstop. There's always a question mark at starting pitcher. Mm-hmm. If you had to pick one position for the Angels to kind of focus at, obviously shortstop's going to have a ton of names. Pitchers always seem to have a ton of names. Which one would you prefer?
This is a debate that I always like fuck myself, because I'm gonna say something and then Angels Twitter is gonna be like, you fucking idiot. So I think it's tough to, you know, the common answer is gonna be pitcher, right? Everyone's gonna say pitcher this, pitcher that, whatever. I don't know, man. I think our young pitching is like pretty good. Like, yeah. I think it's not gonna look good. I think we can get away with like maybe adding another sleeper piece, trying to get another Cobb or something,
right?
And then kind of shelling out some money for a Correa or like one of the big shortstops, which I just know that if they do that, they're going to get killed, right?
Because it's another position player.
The media is going to kill them, and then we're going to get like, imagine we do get Correa and then we don't make the playoffs. Then it's going to be Trout, Rendon, Correa, Ohtani, Walsh, Stassi, Adele, like it's going to be like a whole list of people. So, but I don't think you could be scared of that. I think you got to kind of just do what you got to do. And I think what we've seen from Perry is that he's smart. He's financially, he's like fiscally intelligent, where he's like, we're not looking to make a trade. We're looking for opportunity. So I think if you could kind of capitalize on an opportunity where you get Correa for like a good amount of money that no one else wants to pay him, which I don't see why no one else would pay him, but just say no one else wants to, and we can kind of sneak in there. Mm-hmm. Or if he can get like a Simeon and like kind of give him, be like, hey, we know you're a little older. We'll give you some extra years, but kind of lower the price kind of thing.
Right.
Something like that. I mean, I'm big on filling that gap. I want to fill the shortstop hole, 'cause I don't want Fletcher playing there. And I mean, Mayfield, while he's been okay, like, I don't think he's the shortstop of the future.
No.
So yeah, I mean, I think you can honestly get away with everything remaining healthy. I think you can get away with maybe just signing another position player, as bad as that sounds. Because I just don't, like, who are you going to drop the bag on for, like, on the mound? Like, I get, like, a lot of people are saying Syndergaard.
That scares me. Yeah.
I just, like, I don't know. Like, I guess. And then it's just like impossible. Like, the Robbie Ray stuff kind of bugs me, because it's like nobody knew what he was going to do, and like, good for him that he's doing it, but nobody knew. So I'd say, you know, get distinguished players that are good, and get guys that are, you know, and that's kind of bit us in the ass before, but it's like, you can't let that, you know, you really can't let it stop you from playing. Like, you can't be like, hey, we should get Simeon, but then, you know, what if he gets the like Rendon? Like, if Simeon comes to the Angels and the Rendon effect like happens to him, then I'm saying like, we're cursed. That is the most, that is like one of the best all-around baseball players in the game right now. Mm-hmm. And like, I just don't know. Like, the Rendon stuff, it's up still in the early. Air. He's injured and this, that, whatever. Fine, we'll give him another couple years. But it's just, I feel like the Angels are kind of on their second strike in terms of like, you know, Vernon Wells, Hamilton, these guys that just constantly get made. I'm sure you saw that video, the Artie Moreno one, where like, they're just shitting on all the people we signed. So
yeah,
I think they're kind of on their like second strike, but I don't know. I'm kind of impressed at like, it has to say something about a first year GM taking basically kids from the Sandlot and Ohtani and being around 500 like that. That to me is like a positive note for sure.
Yeah. And something that I find a positive for with Perry is the fact that, like, it seems like he actually got into Artie's ear. Like, for so many years now, Artie's been the one calling the shots. And if you didn't like it, boom, you're out. It just, between the Pujols releasing and just, you know, bringing up the young players and not trying to, like, I remember times where they, you know, they signed like a Tim Lincecum to see, oh, let's see if he has anything. It's like, why? Like, there's no point. So like, now they're like actually letting the kids play. Like, they keep on saying, let the kids play. And to me, it's like, man, maybe Perry has Artie's ear, and maybe Artie, you know, trusts Perry to make an actual, you know, smart decision. Cause everyone knows the Hamiltons, the Pujolses, the CJ Wills, all those big contracts. That's not on the GM. That's on the owner. Like, anyone you talk to, that's an Artie signing. That's not a DePoto or you know, whoever the GM was at the time signing. That's an Artie signing. So hopefully Barry can get into his ear a little bit and just kind of be like, hey, you know, let me do this and you can go over there and count your money or whatever.
And I think even like I don't hate the Rendon one. Like, I mean, I know the contract right at this very second
right now
doesn't look great. I understand that, but I don't hate it. And yeah, I think there's something to be said that like, hey, they're not when they released Pujols, I think that's when I knew that like, holy shit, this team is not really fucked. It's a different move that they wouldn't make that before. The only thing that I like hate. So like the thing that I don't like about like the Angels, it's like, it's kind of like having the hottest girl in school where like, you just kind of always got to be like, oh fuck, I don't know. Like, like, you know, with Trout, like he could be thinking nothing. And then the media is going to be like, they released Pujols. He hates the franchise.
Yeah.
They,
which I didn't. Yeah.
I didn't hate that. That's my least favorite thing. And it's the only reason they're saying that is because of how good Trout is. Like Trout is obviously the best player. And while I'm sure he has some say in some of the strings that are being pulled, I don't know. I think he has a good understanding of like, hey, they let Pujols go. It's business. He doesn't hate the Angels. So that's one of the things that I think that like that really kind of gets to me when people are like, oh, Trout despises the Angels. That stuff kind of gets to me. But in terms of like, I'm liking what I'm seeing coming out of Perry and coming out of, you know, the moves this year where they just let go. You know, if you're not playing well, you're gone. And it doesn't matter who you are. Which I mean, Upton's got to be a little nervous for next year, but I mean, I guess we'll see. So
that makes, I mean, a nervous player is probably going to try to perform a little better. And that's kind of what I thought. So too, when I saw the whole Albert thing and, you know, I'm like, oh, they're cutting, you know, overpriced aging veterans, watch out Upton kind of deal. And obviously next year with his contract being what it is, I honestly think they'll give him a shot. They'll give him a shot to either platoon at first or, you know, if it's like an open competition with him and one of the young guys in the outfield, give him an opportunity if he struggles. And that's kind of how it was with Albert. We'll give you your opportunity because you are a veteran. You have done a lot.
For sure.
We'll give you a shot. But, you know.
And I think he could have stayed. He just didn't want to.
Right.
And that was the big thing. Like he wanted to play more. And it's like, well, no. So I think Upton, I don't know him personally, but he kind of strikes me as a guy where he'll be like, yeah, I'll play every other day, whatever. I don't care. Like, and if he wants to do that and he's productive, I like Upton.
Cool. Yeah, and you kind of already saw it a little bit because when he came back from his injury before this current injury, he was already kind of playing every, you know, third day or whatever between him and Lagares when Perry came out and said, no, these guys are the young guys are playing every day.
Yeah, and so I love Juan. I hope Juan comes back for sure.
Yeah, you know, that's the only thing is like your outfield is going to be a little bit crammed if he does come back. But again, if he platoons at first, you have a guy that can back up Walsh when there's a lefty on the mound. Or, hey, you know, Joe's been playing 6 games in a row. Give him a day off or 7 games in a row. You have a guy that can do that, too. Upton is, I guess, right now, after Rendon, is kind of like the main guy everyone's focusing on trying to make up imaginary trades. You, with Upton, everyone's trying to get rid of Upton. Like, oh, we should just trade him for this.
Like, I don't know what we get for that. Like,
well, that's what I'm saying. And you in your most recent podcast that dropped today on Thursday, you made a comment like a Bishop Sycamore doctor. These are like Bishop Sycamore GMs trying to make
it is definitely Bishop Sycamore GMs where they're like, I don't know. I think I saw a football one that was pretty bad today, but a baseball one. I don't know. I don't really know what you're getting for Upton.
No, and people think that they're willing to just even, well, just trade him for anything. It's like, well, it's a contract.
I think in my mind, we're already out on the money. Like if I'm Artie, I'm like, we're already just pay him.
That's why I think that's what they did with Albert. They're like, we're gonna pay him. Might as well just
fuck it. Just pay him now and then let him, you know, he'll go through waiver. I'm sure someone will pick him up if we're picking up the bill, but
yeah,
I don't know. I want nothing to do. Like, I mean, I if he wants to be here, I'll have him and he's great. If he pulls that pull hole shit, then he's gone. You know, like I that's what I think, but
yeah, absolutely. So, Max, I want to thank you for jumping on with me for this episode of the podcast. Go ahead and talk about your Rocks in the Outfield podcast. How did that start? You know, who's all involved? Because you do, guys, and that's what I like about the podcast. It's you and, like, it does feel like a bunch of friends. You talk about Soto. Soto kind of, to me, has that, like, little brother. You guys kind of, you know, mess with him a little bit. But he's like the little brother. Like, okay, you can come hang out with us, but we're going to kind of pick on you a little bit.
For sure.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about your podcast and how that all kind of started up.
So it started up. I kind of, you know, as I got older, like I said, I was working through like college, and I had a bunch of jobs at like, you know, I worked at Sports Authority, I worked at Dick's, I worked at a movie theater, you know, I had just a bunch of jobs, and I was a young, like, you know, 20-year-old, and I was like, I was doing all the wrong things. I was taught, you know, my head was like, I want to go party, I want to go hang out with girls, whatever. Yep. And then eventually I just kind of, you know, grew up, and once COVID hit, I found myself with a ton of free time, and probably about 6 months before COVID hit, I kind of told myself like, hey, I want to work for Barstool, and I kind of want to, like, whatever I got to do to get there. I was a little like naive in the beginning, where I was like, oh, I'll just tweet funny stuff and they'll just have to hire me.
Right.
And I was a little naive. So once COVID hit, I think it really, like, as bad as, like, I don't want to say I capitalized off of like COVID or whatever, but like, when I was awarded all that free time of being like, hey, everything's shut down, you really, like, you can play video games all day, or you can kind of start doing other things. So I kind of started writing for a little bit. And then I just figured, like, well, the Angels are right here, so I'll just, like, I like the Angels. And I was like, I'll just try to cover them as best as I can, the way I talk to my friends about it. And I'll try to broadcast it to other people and make our friend group bigger. And basically what I want is like a big group chat on Twitter of just people that talk about the Angels, like the Angels. And I just saw that, like, I mean, I just realized that there was like something missing. Cause right around Christmas time before COVID, I was like, hey, I kind of want to like really, really follow the Angels, or maybe the year before that, maybe. There was a time where I was like, I really want to inhale Angels content. And like, I just, like, there wasn't many options. Like, I came across yours. I came across Trent Rush's. I came across, like, but I was looking for something like Barstool, if that makes sense. Like, right. Something gritty, something like, even like kind of like John Boy, where his stuff isn't really by the book. So I was like, fuck it. It doesn't seem like there's anyone there. I'll kind of fill that gap. And, you know, once, you know, spring training got canceled. So that kicked off our first year. That was a real kick in the mouth, I think. It's like, hey, well, like, now do a podcast, but no games are going on. So yeah. Good luck, like, figure it out. And I think that was like some growing pains. But now this being our first full season as a podcast, I think it's gone really well. I'm shocked at like how we've grown, and, you know, people telling me that they like it still kind of like makes me like feel like a fraud, like I'm selling a pyramid scheme or something, but it's really not. Like, I'm glad that they like how I like the Angels. And I always get accused of like, you don't know this much about the team, or you don't know the numbers or the analytics. And I'm like, I don't, I'm just a fan. I just go to the games and I try to record my experience at the games. And the Yankees have a bunch of rowdy fans. Why can't we, like, why? Right. You know, and I want my hometown team to do good. So that's really where it comes from. And Carl's a great part of that, where he's the number one, like, people person of, like, he just gets along with everybody. And like, it doesn't matter, you know, Angels fan, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, 70 years old, he'll just get along with them. And so he's great. Pete's great. He kind of like does all the, he has his ear to the ground. So like, my inbox, our DMs, is just tweets that he sends me. He's like, hey, you saw this? Did you see this? Did you see this? Did you see this? And that's kind of where I get my, like, so I'll see a tweet and then I'll be like, okay, quick joke, next one. And then a fight video. Okay, Dodger Stadium, this. And then we have Monica, who she's like the girl aspect, and we kind of want to have a girl's perspective of like being an Angels fan and stuff. And it's kind of her first year of like being in podcasting and talking about the team, but I think she does really good. She ended up on like Halo Hotties and hasn't stopped talking about it since. So and then there's like a ton of people that help with like everything, where like they, you know, we had like a bunch of, but, you know, my people know who they are, but my girl, she'll help me with like, you know, hey, I forgot my camera, can you bring it to the stadium? Hey, I did this, I need an extra battery. And a ton of my friends do that stuff. They'll go to games with me, get drunk, film me. So I feel like we're only like 2% of the way where we want to be, but it's just, you know, I love it. And it's the thing where I do something and then someone else copies it, I don't even get mad anymore. I'm just like, oh, cool. Like, I'm glad that it's spreading. I'm glad that I think like my joke was like, oh, I'm Iglesias, right? Like, he would make a play or he'd hit a home run and I'd be like, oh, I hit a home run. And And then other people would start to do it where they'd be like, okay, you're Iglesias. I'm Rendon. I'm this. And I was like, this is great. Like, this is funny. This is hilarious. And that's really like, I think anybody, honestly, if you come, if you're looking for like a spot where you just want to be a fan, however you want to be a fan, and you're not required to know whip and war and this and that, you can come hang out. Or if you do like whip and war and Sierra and all that stuff, you could still come hang out and we can all get along around the Angels. And like, so right now I'm kind of in the works of like trying to figure out how to make the big league ball club, you know, while it is like a benefit for me, right? Cause I kind of want to be the center stage. It is gonna, we're working on ways to help the ball club be more forward in like social media terms. So that's like really exciting, but it's crazy that it just starts from like, so the second I got that news, I was like, I need to research a bunch of Angels fans. Like, I want to know like, what do they want? So then I can put it into words to then give to them and then kind of figure out like, cause I think stadium wise, fan interaction wise, you know, as much as I hate the Dodgers, they have a great social media. They have a great ballpark. They have a great like club. They have Pantone 290, whatever. At the bare minimum, the Angels should have something like that. And that's, right. You know, I don't know if that's money, time, effort, whatever it is. It just has to be, we need to be on like, if we're not going to be level playing field on the field, we need to be level playing field off the field at the right. very least.
Right.
Like we should have a Shake Shack, whatever it takes, like we should have that. So, yeah, I just think it's a selfish, Rocks in the Outfield is a selfish tool for me to get a bar stool, but it's inspiring to see how much other people like it and how much, you know, I'm sure there's a ton of haters that hate it. I'm glad that they hate it because then they're telling people they hate it. They're telling their friends they hate it. They're telling, you know, other people they hate it. That's great. I love it because then you're talking about it. So that's kind of what I see it as, but it started off as a selfish, and I think it still is, just a selfish way to get myself in front of some big eyes in New York.
Yeah. So again, that's Rocks in the Outfield. Anywhere you download a podcast, this podcast or any podcast, you can find them at Rocks in the OF is their Twitter handle. You want to give out your personal?
Yeah. Mine's Max Air Jordan 1. If you're coming for stats, probably not going to find it, but if you want like jokes and stuff, like for sure.
Well, and that's a good thing too. It's like you're self-aware enough to be like that, where it's like, oh yeah, I don't know the ins and outs about the, you know, this number or that number, but there's been so many people, and I'm sure you probably come across where they talk about it like they do, and you're just thinking to yourself, like, you don't know exactly what that means, do you? You're just throwing it out there because you heard it on ESPN or you heard it, you know, someone else mentioned it. You're like, you know what? That sounds smart.
Yeah, say it. Just a quick story. There was a guy who we kind of got into an argument with, and it got like pretty like serious. Mm-hmm. And like, so his like their thing was like stats and like, you know, we like this person, we don't like this person, or we do like this person because of these numbers and that. And then after like a day after, I think I realized that they also do like content. And like I said, I have a different level of respect for people that do content. And then I just genuinely felt bad. I was like, oh shit, I feel bad that we argued with this guy. I just think it's so hard to, there's a billion people right now wanting to talk about baseball, and about half of them, anybody can read stats. Anybody can say Mike Trout has this much war. He's better than this person who has this much war. And I think, you know, you have your niche where like you will interview minor league guys. You'll interview like current guys, and you'll kind of like, I just, every time I open my phone, like you're putting something out, which I think is amazing. But then you got these other guys who just kind of point their noses in the air and think they're better. And I watch their content to truly kind of get an idea of like what they're doing. And I'm not saying mine's any good, and there's, I'm sure they have an audience that likes what they put out, but I just think it's just so hard to just read stats. And if it works for you, great. Like Foolish Baseball, great. Good for him, man. Mm-hmm. Like he's getting the bag just reading stats and coming up with quirky connections. Great. But yeah, that was just like a funny story where I was mad at first, and then I saw like, oh shit, this guy does content too. Like he reads stats. Like I was like, oh man, I was like, I wish you the best, man. I was like, I don't know what's going on with you, but I wish you the best. So yeah. Appreciate everyone that puts stuff out. So for sure.
Yeah. It's definitely something that you have to want to do for sure. Cause it's like, especially at the, like now it's like, we're not getting any money for it. It's like, gotta do it. Cause you want to kind of, you know, do it and take your, take your lumps. I mean, obviously everything's kind of a growing experience, whether it was us or whether it's, you know, you guys. I'm sure you guys all had like your growing, you know, growing pains.
We still do. I mean, we're not making, I'll just be candid, we're like losing money. Like, we sell a couple shirts here and there, but I think that's our thing where, like, if if we get approached, I think, like, if we get approached by anyone that wants us to take this full time, it's not just going to be, they don't make any money, we're going to throw them a little bit of cash and they're going to do what we say. Like, no, like, we're all, I think the wild part of it is we all work full-time jobs and we all pitch in money to this so we can have it the way we want. And while I would love to get paid to just do this, it's not just going to be for whoever media team or whatever. Like, it's going to have to be like, I have two options. It's going to be the Angels or it's going to be Barstool. So it's going to be one of the two. so I just think, you know, you should kind of, you know, don't sell yourself short, man. I think, you know, what you're doing, it is hard because we have stuff that, like, we're like, hey, you want to go to this bar thing? You want to go to this? I'm like, I can't. I have to record. I have to watch the game. And then people are like, they suck. Why are you watching them? I just think it doesn't stop because we're not, you know, my running joke is always like, I'm done the day that like a TikToker starts an Angels podcast. Like, at any given moment, one of those guys could just start an Angels podcast. Maybe not even, they don't even have to know as much as I know. They don't have to know as much as anybody. They just say, oh, I like Mike Trout. We're done. So, I'm just trying to do it to have fun. And like I said, I know that it can be like I said, if fucking, Kim Kardashian just all of a sudden likes the Angels, like, we're cooked. We're completely done. So
awesome, man. No, it's a great podcast. Definitely check it out if you haven't already. I'm sure a lot of you have. Max, thank you again
for
jumping on the podcast. Anytime. It's going to wrap up this edition of the All Angels podcast. We'll be back next week with another edition. I am Dan Garcia. Have a great night and go Halo.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.